Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday morning, January the 12th by Lee Younger from 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Okay, for a few weeks, I'm going to be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 if you want to follow along. For a few weeks, I'm going to talk about something that's a little odd. I was noticing, because I was reading John's letters at the end of the New Testament, I was noticing this moment where he just calls this dude out by name for a specific thing. And I was like, ooh, take it, you know? And the guy's name was Diotrephes. And I was like, take it, Diotrephes. Everybody for the rest of time is going to know what you did, you know? And then I realized, like, actually the New Testament has a little bit of this going on. There are, like, people that get called out by name. And you're like, dang, I'm so glad that the canon of Scripture is closed and that none of my, like, old teachers were writing books of the Bible or ex-girlfriends or anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so glad that's not a thing anymore. But there are some people that got called out for specific things. And I thought, let's talk about them for a little bit at the beginning of the year. Like, as we go into a new year, what are some landmines that we could hope to avoid because somebody else already got called out about it? I think they're in there because they are things that we would be, like, pretty tempted to do, that we would easily fall into. These are cautionary tales from the New Testament. We're going to start with this guy named Demas. He was a friend of Paul's. He was part of Paul's mission to plant churches and you know, reach people for Jesus and disciple them up into a relationship with the Lord. And he is mentioned three times in the New Testament. One, in the last chapter of the book of Colossians, where he was, like, just part of the team and he was awesome. He was right there with everybody else, just reaching people and growing people and building up this church. And then Paul would move to a new place and they'd start a new church and everything. And then he's mentioned in the book of Philemon, in the 24th verse of that little one chapter letter. We hear about this dude again. He's, like, still part of the team, still part of the partnership. And then Paul's last letter, the book of 2 Timothy, the last thing Paul wrote at the end of his life before he died for the gospel, for our Lord, he wrote a little letter to his friend Timothy. And he says this in chapter 4, starting in verse 9. He says to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Isn't that sad? It's the last letter that we have from Paul, and he's like, everybody's gone. All I have is Luke. And if I'm Luke, I'm like, what am I, chopped liver? Like, I'm doing my best I can here, pal. But he specifically calls out this dude, Demas, who in the book of Colossians and in the book of Philemon, he's on the team. He's part of the thing. And then he says, Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. And he's gone. Because he loved this world. And I'm like, I need to figure this out because I don't want to end up like that. I don't want to desert my post. And my hope is that as you're listening to this, you're like, yes, let's figure this out. I don't want to desert my post. I want to be useful in the kingdom of God. That's us, right? That's our heart. We want to, hold on, I'm going to do that again. That's us, right? That's our heart. We want to be useful in the kingdom of God, right? Thank you. Okay, this is what I'm saying. So, like, we need to figure this out for a couple of reasons. One, we want to be who God is growing us into. We want to be useful for what God is doing with us. But also, this seems like a very vague and easy to fall into thing because he loved this world. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but, like, I at least like the world. I like days off and donuts. I like TV and tax refunds. Like, y'all don't leave me up here alone. We like it at least. Like, I'm at least tempted. We need to figure out what this means to love the world. Because that's a pretty broad thing. And there's a whole lot of stuff here that I really, really like. You know? I mean, I like friends and smooches and do we get to have that stuff there? I mean, I don't really know. Like, what's, I've been trying to figure out, what does this mean, the world? What is he saying? When I was looking this up in the original language, and a lot of times in the New Testament, when we talk about the world, the Greek word they use is the word cosmos, cosmos, like where you get cosmopolitan. And it's kind of like this place, the universe, the whatever, it's difficult for me to understand what that means, but that's usually the translation of the world. This word is different. When he says that Demas, because he loved this world, the word this means now, and the word world is the Greek word eon. And I realized when I was thinking about this that the only place that I ever heard the word eon was from my dad. And I never knew of that word outside of him, because what he would say to me is, you better clean that bedroom. It's been eons since it's been clean. And then so I knew that by context clues, that means some kind of unfathomable amount of time. Like that's apparently what that means, because it had been a minute, you know? And so like, it's a word that every time it's used in the New Testament, it's translated different ways. Sometimes it's translated world. Sometimes it's translated, sometimes it's translated age. Like this present age. He said, Demas loves the now eon, the now time and space, this, whatever this is. And I've been trying to understand it in this way. And y'all come with me, and if it doesn't make sense, just look at me with blank face and I'll try to break it down another way. But like I've been thinking about it like this. Whatever it means to love this world, it's what this world or this age or this time is as compared to the next one. Does that make sense? Like whatever this one is, it's whatever this one is that next one, that sweet by and by, that one is not. It's, we're comparing this one as opposed to that one. Are y'all tracking with me what I mean by that? Like this age that we live in, it's got rules, it's got toys, it's got ways that have nothing to do with what it's going to be like then, right? This world, this age that we're living in right now, it's all about self, isn't it? It's all about more, isn't it? It's all about winning, isn't it? And it's all about me. And for those of you that are keeping track, you're like, you said self and then you said me. I know. Because at the front and the end, it's all about me. It's about self. It's about more. It's about winning. It's about me. And everything about this place, everything that has value, all the culture and currency of whatever this age means is trying to say to me, you have value by what you do and what you get and what you achieve and what you win and how you are compared to other people, right? That's the currency and the culture of this eon, whatever that means, this place, this time, this is you have value. If you want to answer the question, who are you? Why do you matter? What are you about? Then we would look at the degrees that we have or the money that we have or the things that we've achieved or the state championship we won back in 82, whatever the thing is. Y'all notice I didn't say 98. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But like whatever we have that we're still pinning our hopes on, this is how I define me. This is what gives me value. If you can answer that question by saying, if I just had a little bit more this, then I would have worth, right? If I was a little skinnier, if I was a little richer, if I had a little bit better car, if I had a little bit cooler boss, instead of the really sucky boss that I have right now. Like whatever the thing is, however you would fill in the blank to improve you, whatever defines you, I think that's the heart of this age, this place, this time. Does that make sense? As opposed to that place, the one that Jesus is going to take us home to, the one that Jesus talks about and promises us, where you're just, it's exactly what Tom was just talking about. You don't get in because you were awesome enough. You got in because literally God gave blood for you. Everybody's in because they're the exact same. Total disaster, polluted mess that got in because God gave himself for you. So nobody's better than anybody else. Everybody's just as infinitely valuable, infinitely interesting, infinitely cool as everybody else. Everybody's interesting and amazing and beautiful in ways that God has made them and is making them. And nobody has to prove anything anymore. And all your degrees are going to stay here. And all your championships are going to stay here. And all of your stuff is going to stay here. And all of your cool things that you put in your kitchen to make it amazing, all of it's going to stay here. Everything on Pinterest, it's all staying here. All of that stuff. This world versus that one. When I look at this dude, Demas, I'm like, man, I've got to figure this out. Because I could feel that draw to like prove myself and to find something that would say, this is who I am or this is why I matter. Do y'all feel that? I mean, I feel that draw, and there's so many things that this world would say, if you'll do this, I'll answer it for you. If you do that, I'll answer it for you. But who can testify with me that every time the world says that, it's a liar? It's a liar. Every promise this world has ever made to me, it broke. Everything it said it was ever going to give me, it didn't. You always wind up holding smoke, holding emptiness. I look at this dude, and Paul said, Demas, who loved this present age, has deserted me. He's gone. And I look at that little phrase, he loved this present age, and I'm like, okay, this is going to help me get my mind around it, because I'm thinking about it like a romantic relationship. Like this dude Demas was in a romantic relationship with this world, which always lies to you, never gives you what it says, always breaks its promises. And I'm like, oh, I've seen those dating relationships. Have any of y'all ever had a friend who's in a dating relationship with somebody they should not be with? And you warned them 1,000 times, you need to get out of this. Have y'all had that friend before? And no matter how many times you warn them, they're like, I just think he's really going to change this time. You should hear what she's saying to me this time. I think it's going to be different. I'm just going to go back to her. I just think it's going to be new this time. And you're like, it's going to be stupid this time. How many of y'all, some of us have had that friend, and you've tried to warn them, and they just go back again and again to that stupid relationship? How many of y'all have been that friend? I'll take the laughs, at least, even though there was no hands. I was that guy. I remember I was in this terrible dating relationship at the very beginning of high school, and it turned out that this girl was cheating on me, and I found out, and I was going off about it with my friends, my two best friends, and they were like, man, I'm so glad she did that and that came out, because this has been the worst thing you've ever been a part of. Are you breaking up with her? And I was like, well, I don't know. And they were like, are you kidding me? She's horrible. She's like a monster. She's eating your life from the inside out. Like, this is killing us. We don't want to be your friend anymore. Please stop. And I was like, but what if she changes? And I think that some of us have this relationship with the world that's like that. We go back to it again and again, hoping that this thing is going to tell us who we are, or now I'm going to find out that I matter in some way because I have this thing. Demas loved this world, this now. How do I make sure I don't? I want to do real quick, I want to do a little myth busting on relationships, because there's this thing that happens, and I think it's because of movies, and I think it's because of all kinds of stuff, where people have this belief that you just like, that the way love works is you just get swept into it, and you just can't help who your heart loves. You have no control over that. And then you just hope it's with the right person, that you just have a happily ever after forever. And I know that people actually do think this. It's not just movies. Because people will come to me and Christy, and she can testify to this too, and they're like, you guys are so lucky you found each other. Excuse me? You just don't know what it's like. Not everybody finds somebody like you guys and has a perfect marriage for the rest of it. Excuse me? We've been working our butts off on this thing. We've been married 18 and a half years. We were dating 3 years before that. We have been working on this. We've been going for it, denying other stuff, pouring energy and time and commitment and words into this thing. Making, if it's beautiful, it's because we are making it beautiful, y'all. That is a myth. It's a myth that you just love who you love and you just hope they're amazing. That's bull. If you're in a relationship with somebody who treats you terribly, drop them. Drop them. If you're in a relationship with this world and you keep trying to find love in it and it keeps breaking promises with you, it's time to break up, y'all. It's time to break up. If you don't know how to do that, why don't you start pursuing a relationship with that other world? Why don't you go to Jesus? His world is all about him. It's all about people. It's about love and serving. It's about humility. It's about finding out who you really are, never having to prove anything again, being forgiven forever so that you're free to just love people. Doesn't that sound delicious? What if you go for that? Why don't you pursue a relationship with that next world? Where you, and if you don't know what that means, it means just start loving people. Just believe God when he says he loves you. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. You don't have to compare yourself to anybody. You don't have to win anything anymore. You just get to be his kid, which frees you up to love everybody. And then serve him and love him. And find out how delicious humility is. And find out how delicious loving Jesus and pursuing him is. I think all of us need to figure this out because the world is tempting and it's a liar and it's lying to us all the time and it's always telling us how to find out who we are and everything. And there's another world, a better one. And I think we should pursue a relationship with that one. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had this dinner with his friends. I don't know if y'all know this, but when he stood up to start that dinner, he said to his friends, "I have desired to have this meal with you." You know what he actually said? It's the word. It's the Greek word that other places in the New Testament is translated lust. And you're like, dang, that's not usually how a dinner starts out. Somebody's like, "I have really lusted over having you over for dinner." You're like, okay. Wow. And what he was saying is like, that's how deeply I have been longing for this meal with you guys. And he said this interesting thing. He broke bread and he poured a cup and he said, "This bread, it's like my body is going to be broken for you." And he said, "This cup is the new deal. My blood given for the forgiveness of sins poured out for you." And then he said this thing. He said, "I'm not going to drink this again until I drink it with you in that next world." And in the same way I've been looking forward to that one, I'm looking forward to that one. I can't wait until we're done with this mess. And I get to raise a glass with you again. Have you thought about the fact ever that we're going to a place and the first thing that's going to happen is a gigantic dinner party where Jesus, probably with tears coming down that tender-hearted face of his, is going to say, "I have been desiring this meal. I've been waiting for so long to have you home." Where you never have to prove yourself again and you never have to compete with anybody again. Welcome home. I want to start falling in love with that dinner party today. I want to start going for it today. I think we start here. We're going to take this bread that's broken and we're going to take this cup and we're going to remember that blood was shed and a body was broken, the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, so that I never have to prove myself again and I never have to compete with anybody again and I never have to promote or protect myself again. I can love and give and serve. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. From all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day.